Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Second hour of primetime here in Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Mike Lynch, Patrick Harris in for Isaac and Souk today. Isaac be back tomorrow. Souk be back New Year.
January 2nd.
January 2nd. So you will have to wait for the big man.
Yes. This is the longest he's ever taken, as far as I remember, straight.
Oh, good for him.
He usually takes two weeks at the end of December. He saves them up, takes them all at once. This year, his last day was December 7th.
Well, good for him. He's opened the door for us little people.
Must be nice.
Yeah, meanwhile, I work 6 days this week.
And I get next week off, so I shouldn't be complaining.
Yeah, that's true. Let's jump into NFL Hump Day, as it is a Wednesday, as we do every single week from 4 to 4:30. And I want to start with, I think, probably the biggest news of the day, and that is that the Baltimore Ravens, in the middle of a playoff push, have decided, despite a healthy and clear-to-play Joe Flacco, will stick with Lamar Jackson at the quarterback position.
I'm surprised by this.
I'm quite surprised, too.
A little bit, yeah.
I'm surprised, too, because I don't see it yet, my friend.
I don't either.
I don't see it at all.
I'm not surprised because Baltimore is playing well with Lamar Jackson. They were winning up until last week. They were playing
it's
well.
That's an okay loss last week.
But from watching him play a little bit in all the games since he's come in to be the starter, he can't throw the football.
At all.
He is a running back who occasionally makes a pass. Most of the time, it's not pretty. And I understand that Joe Flacco wasn't doing it for you and you're kind of stuck middling and you're a 500 team and that Lamar Jackson led you to a couple of wins in a row and it was exciting and it was new and it was different. But they're basically running a glorified wildcat.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I understand, you know, and Ravens fans, if there's any of you out there, better you today, text line 55305. I understand that Flacco has become frustrating. I heard on Dirt and Spragler, they were talking, you know, the elite conversation, blah, blah, blah. I understand that Flacco is not the most ideal quarterback you want. But in crunch time, in actually needing a third down, a third and nine, do you know that Lamar Jackson averages 6.8 yards an attempt?
Pass attempt.
Ugh. Like, that's awful.
Because he's just checking down.
Yeah, he's a 58% completion percentage, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Like, that's not going to get you to the promised land. He is not going to be able to get you that 3rd and 10 at midfield with a minute and a half to go. Do you trust him throwing the ball? I don't. I know. No. Flacco hasn't been great, but I've seen Flacco do it before.
There was a pass last week. And I believe it was on the drive where they were trying to go down to win the game. And apologies for not remembering the receiver. I only know one receiver on the Ravens. It's Willie Snead. It wasn't him. But Lamar Jackson rolls out to the right because he has to be moving. He's almost always moving. This guy is wide open for a first down. Wide open. Crossing route towards the sideline. And it's an easy throw. It's just a pitch and catch, wide open. He throws it behind the guy, and the defender gets his hand in there and knocks it away for a big incompletion. It was the perfect picture of why Lamar Jackson isn't ready to do this yet. I like Lamar Jackson. I'd like him to succeed. I really thought he was fun to watch at Louisville, and I'm not going to lie to you and say that I don't think he can ever throw the football in the NFL because I watched him throw perfect passes at Louisville. Granted, he was playing against much worse teams, much worse defenses.
But Bobby Petrino did have...
in
an
a good
NFL
offense.
System, yeah.
Sort of. It was so high-flying when Lamar Jackson was there, just deep pass after deep pass. He can throw the football. He just has to be able to do it against better defenders and better defenses and better defensive coordinators, which we have not seen in his first 4 games as a starter. So I want him to do it. I think he'd be a really cool story if he did. But Joe Flacco's healthy, and I know that he's occasionally mediocre, but I also know he's occasionally really good. Hence why there was the old debate of, is Joe Flacco elite, if you remember that one.
Right.
And I know he's getting older, and I know you want to transition away from him, but don't you kind of still want to make the playoffs, Baltimore? I don't think sticking with Lamar Jackson is making the playoffs.
Text line, Titans fan here. I had Vince Young, and Lamar Jackson will not end well. I always forget about him.
I do, too, because he was great for Texas.
I think the real question that they're only going to know internally is, do they think they have a chance this year? Because if they're cool with not making the playoffs and seeing what they've got with Lamar Jackson, then it makes sense. But if they're really trying to make a playoff push right now, I do not understand not starting Joe Flacco. That's how I feel.
I'm going to double check where they are right now after their loss this week. Because they were right there. I think they were the sixth seed prior to that. Yeah, they're still the sixth seed right now. So they're still in the playoffs as we speak at a 7-6 record. So, I mean, in the NFL, if you're in this spot, you go for it.
Well, of course.
So,
but are they willing to say we're okay if we don't get it, but we want to go for it, but also test to see how this guy is?
Or they think he gives them the best chance to make the playoffs?
Then I think they're stupid.
And that's why John Harbaugh was in the hot seat this year.
Yeah. Oh, yikes. One thing I wanted to bring up as the news broke yesterday, I believe, as the Vikings fired their offensive coordinator after that abysmal Monday night football game that only got cool near the end because the Vikings are atrocious on offense, brought me to this more longer question. Are the Vikings any good?
They should be.
Were they that good last year?
Yes.
Because you would think Kirk Cousins is an upgrade from Case Keenum, correct?
You would think so.
And it is not.
It is not.
It is not. I think Kirkers, it's not a pretty sight. And for the amount of talent on that team on both sides of the ball, I don't get it. These are back-to-back stories now where maybe I just need to work in the NFL so I can understand why people make dumb choices.
Well, the weird part about it is that this guy, DeFilippo, or however you say his name, is really well-regarded in the NFL. And a lot of people were saying that he was the next Sean McVay. Mm. He was going to be the next young hotshot offensive coordinator that got hired by a head coach. And I actually saw this somewhere on Twitter when the firing happened. And it was a reporter who said something like, this is what happens when you're looking ahead to your next opportunity instead of paying attention to your current one. That person thought that John DeFilippo was already looking ahead to being that head coach next year.
Already thinking, who's going to fire? Where can I land?
I mean, there's already been a ton of firings.
And is Carolina going to open up?
Maybe, but he was thinking about that instead of being the offensive coordinator for Minnesota. If that's the case, that's dumb on him. But if he's such a hot shot, you've got really good players on that offense. Kirk Cousins is not a bad quarterback.
No, he's not bad, but is he that much more of an upgrade than Case Keenum?
Yeah, I think he really is. Look at what Case Keenum is doing in Denver this year. He's awful.
Look at what Kirk Cousins is doing in Minnesota this year. It's awful.
Could be some of it is offensive coordinators, too.
Yeah.
Which is why they fired him. But they've got Stephon Diggs. They've got Adam Thielen. They've got Kyle Rudolph. They've got a now healthy Dalvin Cook, but they also had healthy running backs that are good. Latavius Murray prior to that. Their defense is still pretty solid.
The defense is awesome.
It just hasn't played as great this year. But their offensive line is not very good, and that's been an issue the last 2 years for them. Is that really all on the offensive coordinator? Yeah, it might be.
Because it's
a lot of good players, and if you can't get your team to the end zone, then you shouldn't get the job. However, they fired him after less than a season. He was just hired this year.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, and they have, I mean, let's go back to the Rams game. That offense looked great. They played really well against the Rams.
Yeah.
You know? And I think the Seahawks defense right now is maybe one of the best in the league. I mean, it's not quite Chicago, but it's one of the better ones in the league. I think so. Look at the numbers. Proof's in the pudding. They've played well lately.
Cowboys are really good, too.
Yeah, that's true.
So are the Ravens.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. But I'm just saying, let's not, like, I think it's okay that the offense might have struggled against an elite defense. Now, struggling that bad is alarming, but I don't know if it's fireworthy.
Yeah, I think it was the straw that broke the camel's back because they've already been kind of iffy on offense this season, and then you score 6 points and that's it. And it's kind of just like, okay, bye-bye. We still need to try to make the playoffs here. You're not obviously not cutting it. It's just surprised. Anybody who gets fired in their first year surprises me. It makes me think there might have been something else going on behind me.
Is this a prelude to Mike Zimmer losing his job?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
All right. More NFL Hump Day right around the corner. This is Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
.417 here on The Fan. This is Primetime. Thanks for joining us. NFL Hump Day. We'll continue along with that little rodeo. Although I'm digging the Soundgarden. Thanks for that joiner, Mike. I like
you're
that.
Welcome. It was totally random, so.
I'm giving you credit, so take it and pretend like you did it on purpose.
I don't take credit very well. I hate compliments.
That's actually true. I do know this about you. Sticking with the NFL, big game tomorrow night on a Thursday night.
Oof, really good game. I'm hoping it is similar to the Rams-Vikings game that we got earlier this year on Thursday Night Football.
Rams-Chiefs? Or was that a Monday
night?
That was a Monday night?
Yeah.
Yeah, here's to hoping that this Thursday night game and continues the trend of some Thursday night games being better than Monday night games. Do you know what the Monday night game is this week?
I have not looked, no.
Yeah, I haven't looked either, but I bet you it's not as good as San Diego, Kansas City.
Well, let's find out.
Ooh, I'm salivating at this.
I mean, it's not as good, but it's not bad.
Yeah?
Saints-Panthers.
Not bad.
No.
Not great. Not bad, though.
Eagles-Rams Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
Now that Wentz is hurt, maybe Foles will be better. Wentz hasn't played as well this year.
Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles?
Yeah.
The passer himself.
Super Bowl champion Nick Foles.
What's the number one thing you're looking for in this San Diego-KC game? I think I know what mine is.
I would... Not San Diego. I would like to see...
Oh, sorry, whatever.
Patrick,
I've been a Charger
fan
for 15 years. I don't know how to not say it.
Right. Just for those who don't know, he's was a Charger fan until they left. So he's going to say San Diego probably,
probably
every
time.
Yeah. To me, I want to see the Chargers prove it against the best team in their division.
Got it. That's
and
what I want.
If I remember correctly, the Chargers have not been world beaters against good teams this year in their schedule. You know, their wins are against Cardinals, the Bengals, the Raiders, the Titans, the Browns, the Raiders, the Niners, the Bills. They lost to the Chiefs. They lost to the Rams. They lost to the Broncos. They did beat the Steelers a couple weeks ago. That was a good game. That was a good win. Also beat the Seahawks, which is now appearing to be a good
win.
So they have some good ones as well, but I want to see them prove it against the top of the top.
Yeah.
Because they lost to the Chiefs in week one and they lost to the Rams in week three. So let's, if they're 10-3 and they're as good as we think they are, and I really do think they're good, I want to see them do it this Thursday night.
The big thing for me is, can the San Diego defense stop the KC offense? That's what I want to see, because I think Phillip Rivers is going to have no problem throwing on the Kansas City defense.
Kansas City's defense is not good.
Yeah, they're not that great. I like some of the dudes they have up front, but I don't love the secondary, and I think Rivers is going to have a pretty good game. If he can be mistake-free, which is a big if, I like San Diego, or I like Los Angeles in this game. But can their defense stop the magician, Patty Mahomes?
Probably not.
Because Mahomes is... stupid, sick, nasty.
Tyreek Hill likely going to play despite the injury, so that's big.
That's a big plus.
But they're not going to obviously have Kareem Hunt, but they're not going to have maybe Spencer Ware either.
Ugh.
So you're going to be relying on a lot of Damian Williams and Charkandrick West if you're the
Bless
Chiefs.
You.
And thank you. And that's going to be a big deal, because if you can't run the football like he used to, it's going to be a lot of Patrick Mahomes, and obviously that's not a bad thing, but you need some balance in your offense. Well, unless you're Mike Leach.
That's 50% stupid.
But you need some balance in your offense, in my opinion. Yeah, hashtag go Cougs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in. I think this could be really fun. I wouldn't put money on this if I was paid to, ?
What's the spread?
It can't be big. I just had this.
3.5 for the Chiefs.
3.5 for the Chiefs, so it's a push because it's in KC.
Basically, they're half-point favorite, yeah.
Of course it's in KC. It's a primetime game. They won't put a primetime game on at StubHub Arena. I think I like the Chargers in this game, and I think the Chargers might not be world beaters, but they are so balanced. I think they are strong on both sides of the football. I think they play good defense. I think they play good offense. I think they're a more balanced team than the Chiefs. The Chiefs might have a little more dynamic offense. But Keenan Allen's put himself a couple good games in a row now, 3 or 4 good games in a row. And I don't know. I like the Chargers in this.
The one thing I would like to see from the Chiefs is a return to dominance, because despite the fact that they have won two of their last three games, none of them have been pretty.
Yeah.
The Rams game, they lost 54-51. I mean, that was an incredible game to watch, right, but close, and they lost. They beat the Raiders 40-33, and they just beat the Ravens by 3 points this week in a really close game, and they relied on a ridiculous Tyreek Hill getting open after 10 seconds of a broken play catch to force overtime to let the Chiefs win that game. So, to me, I want to see the Chiefs get back to their dominant ways, because they were seemingly unstoppable early in the year, and it's kind of slowed down for them, same with the Rams, to be honest. And the Saints. The Saints also on offense have not looked good the last few weeks. So some of these really high-powered offensive teams starting to slow down a little bit. Let's see if the Chiefs can get back on the horse.
I'm hoping, and I believe it will be a close game late. And if so, all my eyes are on Patrick Mahomes, because I think he's had signs this year where he's been really good in those crunch times, in that two-minute drill. But I think he's also the Rams game. He had multiple chances to win that game
and
in the last 3 minutes.
And fumble and pick and fumble.
And now the Rams, there are some really, really scary, large human beings on that Rams defense. But they gave him multiple chances to win that game, and he was unable to do it. But then he was able to do it late in the game against an Oakland, against a Baltimore. But I want to see, can he do it against the elite teams? That's probably what I'm looking for.
Eric Berry is back for the Chiefs. I just saw that on the text line.
I saw that on the text line. I didn't get the chance to see if it was correct or
it
not.
It is correct, because I remember popping on my phone earlier today. I remember seeing it. So
that could be a huge thing. Also, another text that came in is the weather in KC. Who knows? What's the weather in Kansas City going to be like?
I'm going to use my trusty Weather Channel app on my phone.
Ooh-wee.
Give it a second to load. It's slow because it's not that trusty.
Veronica's a giant blueberry right now at Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, in case anybody needed an update on the movie.
Kansas City, Missouri.
Kansas City, Missouri.
Daily.
Missouri.
Thursday. Missouri. It is going to be at night 31 degrees with showers, a.k.a.
snow.
Or sleet, yeah.
Ooh, sideways.
Both teams need to have an offense. We're going to see another Rams-Bears game where it's going to be like 6-3 and everyone's throwing interceptions.
Yeah, Rivers will be fine. He shotgun throws the ball.
I'm never going to not be bitter about that game, by the way.
Shot put throws the football. So he doesn't have to actually like cock back and fight the elements. He's just pushing it through snow. He'll be fine.
Is Melvin Gordon playing? Is a question on the text line. I won't take the Chargers unless he plays. It doesn't seem likely.
Doesn't seem like it.
But he is a game time decision, but we don't know what that means.
Yeah. And who's what's the backup kid's name?
Austin Eckler.
He's in concussion protocol right now.
And he only has 3 days to get out of it.
Yeah. So that could be trouble.
Phillip Rivers relies on that running back a lot.
Agreed. But Rivers can also chuck the ball 50 times if he has to.
Yeah.
He usually throws 3 picks, but he can chuck the ball 50 times.
Hey, this year has been amazing, man. This has been probably one of the, I haven't looked, but probably one of the best seasons of Phillip Rivers' career.
I think he's bona fide himself a Hall of Famer. And lastly, Carson Wentz potentially will miss the Sunday night football game against the Rams. And there are now reports that he may be shut down for the rest of the year with a bad back. When do we start questioning if this guy is going to be good or not?
He's good.
Yeah, is he?
I think he is. I think he's having a bit of an issue coming back from his injury,
which I can understand. It's a pretty important, you know, ligament you've got there in your knees as a quarterback.
Kind of important. And he came back pretty quick, too,
a mobile
if you remember.
Guy. Yeah, he wanted to get back as soon as possible.
And they were really bad without him early in the season.
He was super scared that Nick Foles got his job.
Yeah, but he didn't, because Nick Foles did not play well early in the year.
Who knows? Maybe on Sunday.
But I think Wentz is good. He has had a couple of bad games these past few weeks, and I just wonder if it's a little bit, it's not a sophomore slump, but if it's just a little bit of he's got to adjust to the defense is adjusting to him now. Because he has a good team around him, minus no running game, but he has a good set of receivers.
Yeah, I like the intangibles the kid's got. If he's shut down with a bad back this year, I mean, that's 2 seasons in a row not finished because of pretty big injuries. You know, I mean, his back's not like broken or anything, but if you're shut down with 4, 5, 6 games left in the season, that's pretty big thing. And it just raises, I like the kid a lot. I think he has immense talent. I get nervous. I get scared.
This is, by the way, before we finish the Carson Wentz thought, we are trending towards the best Phillip Rivers season of his career. Most touchdown passes he's thrown was 34 in 2008, and he threw 11 picks that year. He's got 29 touchdowns right now and only 6 interceptions, which would, if he continues at this pace, basically be the lowest interception rate of his career, which was 9.
Good for Rivers.
In 2009. So, yeah, on track for a career year in terms of touchdowns and interceptions.
If they beat the Chiefs and go on and eventually win the division, I know they'd need some help doing it. Can Phillip Rivers steal the MVP from Patrick Mahomes?
No.
Just because Mahomes and his weird hair and...
Breeze could win it, too.
Breeze looked like garbage last couple... Well, he does not look like garbage, but his stats are not Breeze stats.
His bad week was against the Cowboys. Yeah, that was a terrible game.
Yeah, he didn't have good stats against the Ravens, either.
True.
Yeah, I wonder if... Because Mahomes is young in the future, and he's got weird hair, that... Why give it to old man Rivers?
And the best voice ever. This weird mix of, like, Cajun and something else that I don't understand.
I refuse to not call him Patty Mahomes. Just call him Patty.
Why?
I don't know. My name is Patrick, and I hate the nickname Patty. And I'm just like, you look like a Patty Mahomes.
He probably hates the nickname Patty, too.
Well, cut your hair, weirdo.
Says the guy who can't grow hair.
I'm growing hair right now.
Around the edge of your head.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, I'm just jealous. All right, that's NFL Hump Day. When we get back, we'll have In the News. But first, there's Mike with sports.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
4:34, this is Primetime. Mike Lynch, Patrick Harris. How do we do this? Today is Wednesday, December 12th, and it's time for In the News.
Good job.
Filling in. I'm the backup. Backup's
like the backup
here, ready to
go. The backup anchor right now?
Yep, let's do it.
I'm the cameraman right now. I'm new. I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm just pressing the zoom button a lot. Look at that stash. Sort of zoom in on the Gardner Minshew stash.
I'm not shaving the stash until Gardner Minshew wins the Heisman. Although I wish this In the News segment had like the flashers or people that run by and yell obscene things. What was that big theme for a while?
Oh,
like,
I mean, we can't say it on the air.
Oh, but. Yeah. Was it just the P word?
No.
Or was it something else?
There was the F word.
Okay. Oh, now I remember. Yeah. That was good. I wish we could have someone do that.
He would fake being a real interview.
Yeah.
And then just drop that in. Or sometimes he would literally just walk behind them and say it.
Yeah, and then the reporter on site with the microphone, you could tell they just dropped their mic and just want to murder somebody.
Yeah.
They were so mad. All right, well, stop me.
Is this your first time doing In the News, by the way?
I think so. No, I think it's my second time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, welcome back.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Everyone's favorite segment, 4:30 in the news.
Well, stop me if you've heard this one before, and if you're on I-5 right now heading north, and I apologize to make you even more angry. But it sounds like yesterday, according to an article in Oregon Live, that 7 Washington lawmakers and 5 guests from the Oregon legislature sat down yesterday to discuss how to replace the bridge over the Columbia River. We're back at this.
The I-5 bridge.
We're okay. Back at this. After reading a bunch of this, first of all, they met in a conference room in Delta Park. Like, we couldn't do better than that.
I guess it's kind of close to both sides.
Like, do they get some horse betting in the center? Or, like, what are we doing here?
I'd hope so.
Close to both sides?
I mean,
yeah.
North Portland, right?
I don't know about that. But
where would you like them to meet?
I don't know. Somewhere nice? The Stanfords in Jansen Beach, duh.
You mean the Hooters?
Yeah, oh, okay, yeah, the Hooters. They could just meet in the parking lot of that Safeway that's been shut down. All their cars would be stolen in 20 minutes.
There's a Safeway that's been shut down?
Yeah, I think the Safeway there
on
got
Jansen
shut
Beach?
Down. Yeah, yeah. Or it is closing.
I was going to say I've never been. I've only been once, and it was because we were driving to Seattle, and we needed something. And we were like, where's the grocery store? And it was on Jansen Beach. It might have even been that Safeway.
Yeah, well, I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody was like, I ran in to grab milk, came out, and somebody was already looting through my car.
I thought Jansen Beach was nice when I first moved here.
What?
Well, I did. because I'm like, oh, it's like right on the river and there's houseboats all over there. That's kind of cool.
No, it's terrible.
I don't know. I said when I first moved here.
I grew up in downtown Vancouver and the thing was like, well, good thing I didn't grow up in Jansen Beach.
If you're listening and grew up in Jansen Beach, could you confirm?
I don't even know if there's houses. It's like houseboats and hotels that have burned down. There is a burned down hotel there.
Yeah. It used to be like, what, a Red Lion Inn or something?
It was like the biggest Red Lion you've ever seen in your life, overlooking the finest city in all of North America, Vancouver, Washington. Shout out to my hometown. Anyway, so these people sat down and they're trying to figure something out because the states face a deadline in 2019 to show federal officials that they're dedicated to reviving bridge talks. Otherwise, they both collectively have to pay the federales $139 million for basically sitting around like a bunch of jackoffs, you know?
So we're going to assume nothing happens with this?
I guess so.
Am I supposed to believe that they are now, with the threat of having to pay money, going to do something about this? I mean, how much money was wasted already on this new bridge that never materialized?
Millions.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars.
And I already thought that they were talking, or at least bandying about, the idea of another bridge.
A third.
That would be over by St. John's, mm-hmm, and would connect to 30.
That would be awesome.
So you wouldn't be helping the I-5 bridge by expanding it. You would just be creating another avenue for there to be bumper-to-bumper traffic.
Yeah, I guess so. I just think, A, the bridge is going to fall down, and B,
I don't know, it looks pretty sturdy to me, Patrick.
When the big one hits, don't be heading north. And B, it just needs mass transit. I think so many people would use it. My mama would like it if it had it because I'd go see my mama. I'm like, Mom, I can't come to Vancouver. Traffic. Sorry.
I think if you put mass transit, that gets some people to use it more. So many people are like, yeah, I'm not taking the max. What are you talking about?
Are we just hosed in this situation?
Yeah, probably.
Well, this just proves, what year are we? We're 2018. Elections are in November every year, right? Mayors run every year. I'll bet you 2030, you're going to see, in the year 2030, you will see signs everywhere saying, vote Harris for mayor of Vancouver, Washington. And then a bridge will be built, and you're going to have to pay a toll for it. I'm sorry, but things aren't free.
Well, there's already going to be tolls on the highways by then. So
then they got 12 years to get used to it.
Yeah. Have you been hearing those talks that they're going to start putting tolls in the area?
Well, it'll be like what they do in Seattle, what they do. Like, the Golden Gate Bridge is a tolled bridge, but you don't stop. They just flash your license plate and then send you a bill at the end of the month.
Yeah.
And you just bypass and, or, you know, it'd be cheaper than buying a pass through the tolls, buying a max pass and riding the max.
But then you have to sit on the max for an hour instead of drive for 30 minutes.
Or currently drive for an hour.
You can find ways around it. I also...
Oh, yeah, I know. Interstate, Albina. Yeah, I know all the roads in North Portland. You can just cut through. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Oh, yeah, I know all the shortcuts.
Well, I don't live in North Portland, Patrick. The ways I go are not that bad.
It's awful. I'm so glad I don't have to drive to my house in North Portland at 5 o'clock.
The one thing is, and I said this when we brought this up originally, if we do put tolls in, I'm never getting on a highway. Because there's so many side roads you can take to get to any destination.
Oh, for sure.
It's going to make it trafficy on the side roads, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, why would I pay the toll if I could just take Barber?
Right. Like, I live in North Portland and I work in Milwaukee. So I'm on I-5 from the Greeley ramp, from Greeley to the ramp that gets you on. Your next exit's the Moda Center. And then I'm off on the 99 exit, the Oregon City exit. So I'm literally there for like a mile, and that is 100% being tolled. Or I'll just go around the Moda Center.
Exactly.
Just follow Interstate down and go around the Moda Center and then jump onto Grand, and that's 99 anyway, and I'm not on Grand, but yeah.
I'm on 5 MLK for even less than that. I get on at Terwilliger and get off at Corbett coming north, and I could literally just stay on Terwilliger. Go to Boone's or Taylor's Ferry, or I can go to Barber, and I don't need tolls.
I think it's funny that you and I are like, we don't care, because we'll be just fine. We're like 2% of the population.
No.
Everybody else, oh, those poor guys. I'm so sorry. I really am sorry.
John.
I'm sorry. I don't know what that is. That weirded me out, though.
What?
Oh, man. So, yeah. They're getting together. Hopefully Washington takes their heads out of their booties and actually does something with this. You just remember Oregon was like, yeah, we'll give you tons of money. Washington was like, eh, not enough. I don't get it. Anyway, more news when we come back. This is Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
There's those lovable fart noises. I remember competing in Hunt for the Host and telling my mom I learned the results on Primetime. She was like, is that the show where they just fart all the time? I was like, damn right.
Yep.
Number one show in Portland, don't you forget it. You gotta love it whenever you talk bridge, Washington versus Oregon. I can't read most of the things on the Better You Today text line at 553-305.
There's a lot of pointy fingers of you pay for it, yeah. No you pay
Everybody's
for
like,
it.
You do it, no you do it, no you do it. How about we just all do it and help each other out?
What do you think this is, a nice country?
No, that's true. speaking of nice countries, I don't know, are the Scottish nice people? Scottish?
I literally don't know if I know anyone from Scotland.
I'm going to go with they're probably some nice people. A mother accidentally sent her 5-year-old to his school nativity with an inflatable sheep, which she bought online as part of a fancy dress costume.
Okay.
The school then decided to inflate the sheep to find out that it is, in fact, a sex doll.
A sheep
sex
doll?
Yes, for it has lipstick, eyeliner, a bow bonnet on its head, and a hole on the backside.
Maybe it's just a pretty sheep that is anatomically correct.
The legs are not anatomically correct. They look like they look like Betty Boop legs.
Okay.
My question to you, though, is where do you inflate this sheep?
Where?
Like, where is the hole to inflate it? Is it a multi-purpose hole?
Probably, yeah. It's probably a multi-purpose hole in the back.
The picture is priceless.
Which is actually what it always is.
It is this very awkward inflatable. I wouldn't know it's a sheep unless you told me it's a sheep. And this little boy in a bathrobe and a towel, like a hand towel with a rubber band around his head to make him look like a shepherd. And he's smiling, and it's this sheep sex doll.
I'm looking for it right now. Hold on one second.
I think I typed in, it was the number one story.
Yeah,
I typed
I got
in
it.
Scottish mom, son, inflatable sheep.
Yep, you are Betty Booplegs. What a perfect comparison.
Nice.
That is 100% what they are. Yeah, this is a very strange picture now knowing what that sheep is.
Yeah.
The son looks way too calm and pensive for him to be in this picture.
I know, he's just like, what did I do wrong?
He's like,
I'm a shepherd.
There. Yeah.
This is my sheep.
I just had to make sure that the sheep got to the right spot.
This is my flock. Isn't that wild?
Haven't you seen this before with so many other stories where someone's like, oh, why did you send this with your kid to school? It's very clearly a toy of some sort. And the mom is like, what? What are you talking about?
Well, what I want to know is this sheep sex doll came, she bought it online, and it came with a fancy dress costume that she got for 17 pounds.
A fancy dress costume.
That's what it says, a fancy dress costume.
So are we assuming what this costume is then?
It has to be, right?
Are we role-playing as a shepherd here?
Well, no, the kid's not in the shepherd costume.
No, I'm talking about the costume she purchased.
Oh.
With the sheep. I'm assuming the kid's costume is not what she purchased for 17 pounds.
Well, no, the kid's literally in a bathrobe and a hand towel over his head.
Yes. So the costume that came with the Betty Boop over here, was that role play?
I mean, you'd have to be. Have to be.
But it says fancy dress.
It says fancy dress costume.
I don't... if you're in a fancy dress, you don't have a sheet.
She said she had no idea what the real purpose of the product was when she bought it for her son. This article is written terribly. Yeah, she was confused as to why the teacher told her son he had to take it home.
And then she saw what it was.
And then she saw it was like, oh, sorry.
I'm sorry.
That's my mistake.
I got a story for you, too, today, if you want to wrap up in the news with a quick one.
Yeah, go for it.
I just saw this on Oregon Live. We are likely getting new driver's licenses here in the state of Oregon.
Woo-hoo! You hear that, Californians? You're going to have to get a new driver's license.
What?
Well, the Californians that live here that still have California licenses.
Oh, right. And driver's... I'm talking about driver's license.
Yeah, yeah.
Not license plates.
I know.
It's more colorful. It has Mount Hood on it. This one looks like it has the state capitol building on it. And it's not mandatory, but if your license expires, you may be getting one of the new licenses as your new one. So that's cool.
Yeah, and if you're under 21, it's vertical instead of horizontal.
They're going to flip it to vertical instead of horizontal. That's how it was when I was growing up in New Jersey. My license was vertical. And my parents were horizontal. I think it just makes it easier for people to see, like, oh, you're under 21.
Well, that's how Washington used to do it. I don't know if Washington still does it. I haven't lived up there in a while. But as a bartender, as a restaurateur person, I would like them to let us know this. You know, us in the restaurant biz know this as well. Because I guarantee people could get new licenses and they'll come in. Someone be like, yo, man, what is this? And be like, nope, that ain't a license. No, they're this brand new thing. Look it up. Uh-huh, cool. Betty. How old are you, Betty? 20? It's not going to work. Vamos.
Yeah,
skedaddle.
I'm looking at the current license now. There is a picture of what looks like the state capitol building in the background. This one will still have that, but Mount Hood will be on the back of the license. It'll be way more colorful. The only question I have... is can they stop when you get a new address sending this stupid sticker?
The sticker's the worst thing ever.
Because my sticker has almost all the letters rubbed off of it because it's been on here for a while. And I've actually gone to an airport in a different state and they look at it and go, I can't accept this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
I think it's like...
Why? And he goes, because your address and name are rubbed off. And I was like, well, this is what they give us. They give us a sticker.
Yeah. I think when I changed my address, almost 2 years ago, 2+ years ago, I went to the DMV, and they said I can either give you this sticker for free, or you can get a brand new license for either $5 or $15. I can't remember. And I was like, I will take the new license. I didn't care. I was like, I will pay for a new license, and I will wait for it in the mail.
It's $5 or $15.
Yeah, I was like, I'll wait for it in the mail because of that exact reason. Because as a person in the restaurant biz who has to look at those, I think it's terrible, and I do not want to be somewhere else and then be like, oh, I'm on a six-hour layover here at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, and no, you can't get a beer because this stupid sticker has rubbed off.
It wasn't even that. It was TSA.
Oh,
for me.
There you go. The Federales.
He was looking at it and going, I can't let you through security. And I was able to show him that my name was elsewhere on the license
because
he was trying to match my boarding pass with my license. And I was like, I looked at it and I went, because I didn't realize how much the letters had been faded.
Yeah.
Because it's just in my wallet. Like, I don't take it out that often. So I was like, what do I do? Like, I can't get a different license. I can show you a credit card if that proves that it's me.
Right.
I don't know if that would work.
Can you just take the sticker off and be like, see, this is what it says underneath. I just changed my address.
Probably.
They're like, uh-huh. That's what I thought. Where's your guns?
Right.
Yeah. Where's your drugs?
You're not getting on this plane.
Wednesday, December 12th. That is in the news.